You want your 30-minute classics? Not me. Big meaty man slapping meat.
Kicking off the heat, yeah, it's time to go. Slapping me, wrestling, stealing the show. Tuesdays, Fridays, we bring it on air. Step into the ring if you're ready to care.
What is up, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Community Show. And you're like, wait a minute, when did we change the name again? Wait a minute, We Too Deep, you just got on here last Tuesday and said you were leaving podcasting. Oh man, you must have been trying to clickbait us. You must have been trying to, you were faking for clicks, weren't you? No. We're going to break this down. We're going to break down all the changes, and then we're going to break down some wrestling and various other topics. Let's start with what has happened over the last week, right? So yes, I did get on here last Tuesday and said I'm stepping away from podcasting, right? And I was at a place, let me sort of explain it a little bit, where I was in my head a little bit. I was looking at numbers. They were sort of declining. And thinking, okay, I need to rebrand. Maybe the Slapping Meat brand is keeping people from, you know, paying attention to the show. And, excuse me. I was sort of in my head about that. And the product hasn't been the greatest. And I was like, part of me really just didn't want a podcast anymore. And I didn't necessarily know what I was going to do. And I figured if I just came on here and said I'm leaving podcasting for a little bit, let you guys know what was going on, I would step away for a little bit and then I would come back. Maybe a little bit refreshed. And that was Tuesday, right? This decision was made Monday going into Tuesday. And then Wednesday hit, and we were having conversations in the Discord, and I had this idea. Well, I was, you know, at work, and we were kind of slow at work, and so I was sitting here, and I was talking with James and Cody outside of the Discord in our little private chat, and I mentioned this idea to them, right? I mentioned the idea of doing, like, a community-based show that got people to tune in to the Discord, to come to Discord, join the community, and we would just do, like, a weekly gathering of me, James, and Cody, where James got to keep his show or his format, he could host it. I didn't have to plan nothing, because that was sort of a lot of the main issue was I really didn't have topics to talk about. And so I mentioned this, and it got shut down, right? Cody was willing to give it a try. James kind of just shut it down, and that didn't work. And then I got this idea, well, what if I did the Slapping Meat Community Show? What if instead of trying to force myself to find cool news stories or reviewing the product, what if I just talked about things that I felt like, what if I merged the football podcast, Slapping Me Gridiron, with Slapping Me Wrestling, and we just made the Slapping Me Community Show. Right now, this was an idea, I'm going to be 100% with you, that I've been thinking on for a couple of weeks that Kara gave me. Me and Kara chat every now and then, you know, I ask her what she thinks about the show and what she thinks about some of the conversations going on in the Discord. You know, I ask her for her ideas and stuff like that, right? And she, you know, I was talking to her about how I wasn't sure if I wanted to keep doing two separate podcasts, right? Well, then you, so she mentioned this idea of mixing them together. And I was like, okay, I'll think about it. Well, that's exactly what we're going to do. So I got to give credit where credit is due, right? And so what's going to happen from now on, right, is there will be one episode a week. And it'll be the Slapping Meat Community Show. And we will solely touch on things that I feel will create conversation, right? And so how it'll break down, we'll have the wrestling segment will be called In the Ropes. The football segment will be called Fourth and Deep. We'll keep some of this consistent branding that we've been trying to work on to the show, right? And then we'll do questions from Discord. And that's where I want a lot of the conversation. When I say send me questions, join the Discord, send me any question about any topic, nothing is off limits. I say that with an asterisk and small print. If it's like not suitable for work, or if it's like, you know, there, everyone says there's no stupid questions until you get a stupid question, right? So I can deem questions not eligible to be on the show. I'm just going to let you guys know that. But like Kara asked a really, really, really good question. When we get to that segment, it's an interesting question. And I have a really interesting answer for it, right? But ask me, it could be on football, it could be on wrestling, it could be literally on any topic that I deem, you know, and it literally could be anything, right? I want the out-of-bounds type questions because this is going to be for the community. And if you're not in the Discord, I recommend you join the Discord, right? Right? Please understand that there is wrestling talk, so if you're joining for football topics, understand that. There's going to be wrestling chatter, right? If you're joining for wrestling chatter, understand there's going to be other topics discussed, right? I will also say, excuse me, I don't know if you heard me swallow that water. That was aggressive. That was aggressive. It also hurt going down. Fuck, excuse my language, but I will also say, with the questions, I completely lost my train of thought with that water comment. That's crazy. I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah. So that's where we'll head with the show. Right? I want to have a lot of fun with it. I want this to be an enjoyable experience. For the community, and then for the super hardcore fans, Thursday nights, go watch Beyond the Junkyard, right? What I want Slapping Meat Community Show to be, what I want We Too Deep Entertainment to provide for you is a fun experience, and when the product gets hot again and I'm interested in it, it'll be really focused on wrestling. Right, but I want to bring a community together that has conversation, but also can allow for freedom of opinion. Right, if you join the Discord, no, not everyone's going to agree with you. We're here to have discussion. I'm not here to create a community that you know circle jerks my opinion. Right, Kara, I've said this to her personally. And it's kind of a running joke. Oh, Kara's your favorite. Well, yeah, she's my favorite. I mean, I used to say I don't play favorites among my listeners, right? But well, I'm be honest with you, Kara's my favorite. You know, B-Master's a close second, right? They're my OGs, right? And them two, they're going to provide a lot of the questions, and I want y'all to get crazy with them, right? And I want y'all, like I've Kara will provide. My point of saying she's my favorite is she could easily just say, I'm going to agree with everything he says. But she doesn't. There are several things where she'll push back. And I like that because I don't want you guys to agree with everything that I say. Because if you agree with everything I say, I have to assume that we've crossed into the line of cult of a cult, and I don't want to be a cult, right? I want y'all to think differently than me. So with that being said, welcome to the community. If you're looking for a community that actually will provide you an opportunity to speak freely, understand what that means, though. Freedom of speech doesn't mean that you get to say whatever you want and not have people respond, right? If you say something stupid, you will get a response. And I promise you, it's not going to... Right? Kara's a savage in this group. She'll go after everybody. Right? You got to watch out for that one. But that's why she's the queen of the community. Ain't no, right? So just know your role. I know I'm the podcaster. I know I'm the one that runs the Discord, but I ain't crossing her. Not today. Not in any time. I joke. But no, for real. But like, we offer you the ability to speak your mind. And with that being said, I'm no longer tiptoeing on certain things that I feel like I have to tiptoe, right? And so before we get in the ropes and talk about wrestling and before we go forth and deep and talk about football, and there's one topic I just decided to add this today. And I've been really, really contemplating if I wanted to talk about it, because this is an issue that is very, you know, screw that. It's not complex. This is very black and white. And it's a situation, if you don't live on social media, if you're not paying attention to the news on social media, you may not know about this. I know about it because I do pay attention to social media, but I also live about it because it took place in my backyard in Charlotte, North Carolina. Right? I want y'all to say her name. And her name is Irina Zarutska. And I don't care what y'all think about this situation. I don't. I don't care what you think of me after I say my feelings on this. I don't care. I mentioned last week that part of the reason that I'm not doing two days a week with this podcast is that Friday is going to be, moved into a more, Christian podcast, right? Where I'm running a separate podcast away from Slapping Meat Entertainment on my personal channel that is 100% going to be, more so focused around Christianity and those type of topics, right? And that type of product, if y'all want to listen to it, I'm not going to promote it here. Because I don't want the two products to cross. In that, I don't want it to look like I'm forcing you all to listen to it, right? And I don't want it to be like, oh, well, he built a platform with Slapping Meat. Now he's trying to build another platform. He's going to use a Slapping Meat audience. I don't want that to happen, right? If you want to listen to it, though, let me know. I'll send you the link. And so, y'all know I come from a very unique, and I'm not even going to say unique. I come from a more Christianized, conservative worldview. And I've had to deal with, for the last decade and a half, the more liberal worldview telling me about all of these different crimes against certain communities. And I don't want to make this what it's not. Because it has zero... the conservative thing right now is to, again, play the victim, to do the same thing the liberals did in 2020 with George Floyd, where entire communities played the victim, right? And everyone on the liberal side played the victim. And what's happening now with Irina Zarutska is white people in general have tried to latch themselves onto her tragedy and have tried to make it something racial when it has nothing to do with race. When I talk about this, and I'm going to say some strong things, I want you to understand this has zero to do with race. I've said it on this podcast before. I don't believe in multiple races. I don't. There's one race. There's the human race. That's it. We all bleed red. The difference between me and anyone else of black, what we would call black, a black person, is the black person has DNA genetics that program his skin to be darker. It is a genetic thing. There's nothing he could do to control it. Nothing I can control the lack of my melanin, right? And so I'm not making this at all about race. I want to get that out of the way, right? Because I'm going to say some strong things. This man, for those who don't know, in Charlotte, we have what is known as the blue line. We're just now getting, you know, if you live up in the Northeast, you're used to public transportation. You're used to your subway system and your light rails and all that. Charlotte's a little behind. We've had a light rail for probably about 7, 8, 9 years at this point now, but we're still really behind. It only is just Charlotte. There's plans to connect the whole state together through it with different color lines and all that, but who knows how long that's going to take. We can't even get the interstate finished in a decent amount of time. Anyway, on August the 22nd, this woman, Irina Zarutska, Ukrainian refugee, fled Ukraine because of the war, came to America thinking she would be safe, settled in Charlotte, North Carolina. She boarded this train sometime at night. I don't know what time it was. It looked like she had just got done with her shift at some pizzeria. I couldn't read her shirt, so I don't know what it is. I don't go to Charlotte a lot anyway. I call it my backyard, and I don't go in my backyard. I work in my backyard, but I don't go down there. I don't visit the shops or anything. I don't like being in the city, right? I'm just going to be honest with you. And so she boards this train. She sits down. She has her earbuds in. And she's just staring through her phone, just like everyone else on this train. Or it's not really a train. It's a light rail. But you get what I'm saying, right? Sitting behind her is this man, red hoodie. His name's DeCarlos Brown Jr. What you need to know about DeCarlos is that this man has a rap sheet longer than some phone books. 14 different arrests, 5 different convictions. Because of the policies of the government, for whatever reason, he was released in January. This person pulls out a pocket knife and stabs this woman, Irina, 3 times in the carotid artery. Gets off the train. No one helps her. And she dies. Now, again, this isn't a racial thing. I could care less about the race of the victim or the race of the suspect. None of that matters to me. If the roles were reversed, I would feel the same way. This was murder in cold blood. There may have been a racial undertone because it was heard on the video where he said, "I got that white woman." I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to make this a race war because I think that's what the media wants it to become. But I do have an issue with the crime in general, and I think a lot of this has to do with policies of particular politicians, but I think a lot of it has to do with we need to make criminals fear doing crime again, and the only way you do that is through public execution. And I'm sorry, we're at that point. Public execution. White, brown, purple, green, I could care less about your race or your skin tone. If you commit a crime, there should be a very public response to it, especially if it's murder, right? I wanted to mention that because this story's gone on, that was 3 weeks ago, and it's just now picking up steam in the media. That's not responsible coverage. So y'all may not know about it. This girl did not deserve to die the way she did, and I wanted to mention her. And now that I darkened the mood, we're going to lighten the mood by jumping into wrestling. So let's go in the ropes. All right, so let's tap on in to our wrestling segment. And we're going to start with the big... the big topic, which is AJ Lee. She returns, it's official. And I want to discuss this as I tear the whole set apart, trying to move stuff around. Give me 1 second here. Get this fixed. Or maybe multiple seconds. I apologize. This isn't professional. All right. I think I got everything back in position. So AJ Lee's returned. And I timed it at the right time on Saturday. I was watching the Chiefs and the Chargers. And I timed it at the right time just to watch the main event. And I will say this. The segment was good. I'm not so certain, though, that I'm the biggest fan of AJ Lee returning. Let's preface this. When I was getting into wrestling end of 2013, early 2014, AJ Lee was on the top of the division. Like I like AJ Lee mostly because she was the top of that division at the time that I started getting into wrestling. You had Nikki, but I was more of a Brie supporter because I was a big fan of Daniel Bryan. And you know, I looked up the roster at the time, and there wasn't a lot of star power on the roster. You just had AJ Lee, right? For the most part. I don't know though if I've missed her enough to get excited about this past the 20 seconds of excitement hearing her music play. Because immediately that jolt of excitement seeing her show up was immediately followed with, okay, what's next? What now? How do we follow this up? Obviously, we know we're getting at WrestlePalooza the mixed match, you know, opportunity. But what happens after that? What happens with AJ Lee when this feud finishes? Is this feud going to finish? What, right? So my response here isn't that I'm anti AJ Lee. I'm fine with her coming back. 100% fine with it, actually. My issue comes with the story and the booking around the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Because it seems to me, I try to like play this out. What's the long term play? Y'all know that's how I book. I always book with a what's next mentality. It seems to me the play is to get AJ Lee with the championship, have her beat Becky for the belt. With the long term play possibly being Roxanne Perez versus AJ Lee at WrestleMania. Which is annoying to me because this completely ruins any continuity of the current WWE product, where you would assume that Roxanne Perez would be completely having her hands full with a returning Liv Morgan at some point. And so I see everyone saying, well, this is going to lead to Roxanne versus AJ Lee. And I'm like, well, what about continuity? Do we not care about storytelling anymore? Right? And so in between now and Mania, though, what's going to happen? Are we going to return Caitlyn? Are we going to return Saraya, Paige? Here's where my real issue lies down. Is especially with the women, WWE doesn't need to be running nostalgia tours that take up 80% of your booking. If you think about WrestlePalooza, it's Cena versus Lesnar, it's Punk, Rollins, Becky, and AJ Lee. Right, there's not a single future star or star in the making in those two matchups. And those are the two matchups that everyone's going to pay $30 a month to watch. Those are your matchups. You'll probably fill the card with, you know, I'm hearing Cody versus Drew. But again, in those three matches, your card is full of already have achieved the pinnacle on the way down towards the end of my career wrestlers. And there's no building. And I get it. You're building Braun Breaker and all of these guys, and you've built stars. Great. But more specifically in the women's division is where I'm concerned. You've brought up in the last 6 months Julia, Stephanie Vaquer, Lyra Valkyria has been about a year-ish now. So Valkyrie, Lyra, Roxanne Perez, and Julia. Which have been, you know, Roxanne the cornerstone of the women's division. Julia and Stephanie held it down for 3-4 months. Lyra, before that. These women were, you know, your centerpieces of your women's division in NXT, and you bring them up, and you do zero with them, right? The booking of the women's division, can we be honest, outside of Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, and Io Sky, has been absolutely atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Right? And so you throw in an AJ Lee to take more time away from your mid-card when your mid-card champion should be putting over, I'm not saying lose, but should be putting over new talent. Roxanne doesn't need a mid-card belt. She's proven with the current title the title run she has had filling in for Liv Morgan that she can carry titles. She can be a main event star. She should be battling. Like I don't know what we're doing with the vacant women's championship on Raw. I don't know what we're doing with this. We could have had a tournament. We could have had some matches to try to figure out who's fighting who. But we got some convoluted ass whatever. I don't even know what's going on with it. It doesn't hit the review, the 10 to 15 minute thing that WWE puts on at the end of each episode. The women's title picture wasn't involved in that at all. And I don't have Netflix. I cancel Netflix. So that's how I watch Monday Night Raw. There's so much talent in NXT that is ready for the call-up. If you need to fill your mid-card main roster with some talent, call up Sol Ruka. Call up Kalani. Call up Jada. Call up Lash. Call up Thea Hale. Call up JC. There's enough talent to replace them if you need them to be on the main roster. I just don't understand what we're doing. Right? I think Lola Vice is the future of NXT right now in terms of the women's division. Put the strap on her. Let her carry, because I think she can do it. Followed by Callie Armstrong and not Carly Bright. Who does Carly Bright run with on Evolve? I don't even know. But there are some women down there that are ready to carry to call up some of these other women to the main roster that have been more than ready, right? I think Azaria down there, right, can carry. This women's division is so convoluted right now with the booking. And adding an AJ Lee to it, while I'm happy for AJ, and I'm happy that she's back, I don't know if we necessarily needed this. I don't know that I'm 100% certain that we need it. So, let's move on. I need to talk to the sickos. I need to talk to the sickos for a minute. Because, and I'll be honest, I'll be real with everyone. This is a response to Junkyard James, who came out and said that the casuals are ruining the experience of the AEW fan with all of their complaining, right? And I need James to understand, but every other sicko, because here's the thing, James isn't just coming up with thoughts on his own, right? The sickos all repeat the same talking points that they see each other post on X, and they, oh, that's a good point, I'm gonna use that as, right? We're hearing the same things of WWE tricked you into watching Brock Lesnar, and everyone uses the same talking points as old John Boy that I saw his video get on my X feed. Old Johnny Boy. Right, everyone uses the same argument. So it's not like James is coming up with unique arguments. So I'm addressing this to the sickos. Your style, your preferred style of wrestling. And I'm not just talking hardcore. I'm talking about the way you all watch the product. As if it's real. As if it is actual sport. The Japanese style that has infiltrated ROH and infiltrated the indies and infiltrated AEW. The style of watching wrestling like it's an actual event that means something outside of the entertainment is what's killing the business. Right? Objectively. Right? Good matches are good matches, right? And we've had good matches throughout the span of the history of the business. But objectively speaking, the treating wrestling like it's more than just an entertainment source and like it's a real competition is what's killing the business. Because from the beginning of in the circus days to now, before McMahon ever, you know, took over, before the territories, I'm talking like early 1900s. Promoters understood that if they told stories and had characters, as simple as that, as they could be, they could make more money by getting people to view their shows. And that they that you create an illusion of a athletic competition, but it's all for the entertainment. And when you view wrestling different than that, because that's the roots of the business. And when you view wrestling different than that, you start to take away the thing that makes it enjoyable in and of itself. And that is, it's not supposed to be real. I don't understand this infatuation with trying to convince people that wrestling is real. It's not supposed to be real. In fact, we don't want reality. Like, and when by we, I don't mean like casuals. I'm talking about just humanity. We don't go to movies to watch, real things. Right? Like, no one has turned into a Fast and the Furious movie since maybe Fast and the Furious, since Too Fast, Too Furious, when it was still not the highly unlikely stunt type stuff. We were still about street racing, right? But no one tuned in to Fast 4, Fast 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or whatever number they're on, looking for a realistic movie. No one turned on Transformers and thought it was real. No one watched Star Wars because it was a real fighting, right? We watch because we want to be entertained. And when you watch wrestling and you take out the entire purpose of the business, which is to entertain, you take out the part of the business that is the most fun. The way you watch wrestling is what's ruining the product, not everyone else. That is the truth. Whether you want to accept it or not, that's up to you. But that's the truth. The style of wrestling that you all prefer, that treats the ring as if it's an actual sporting event, is what's ruining the product. WWE is not ruining the product. Well, their product's not good anyway. But, like, they're not ruining the business. Casual fans who want to watch stories be told, they're not ruining the business. The sickos who, yes, want to watch the hardcore stuff, but more so take out the fun in wrestling. And they cheapen it with a fake athletic competition that then sometimes turns into a circus act. But they don't treat it as a circus act. They treat it as if it's high-level athleticism, which it is, but it's still a circus act. They treat it as if it's an actual sporting event where the results matter when it really doesn't. Right, but now that I've talked to the sickos, because they've kind of irritated me over the last week with some of their takes. Now that I've talked to the sickos, can I turn around and talk to the casuals? Because I'm going to keep it the three R's, real, raw, and relevant. And I'm going to be real with the casuals for a second, right? Because I've always said, go back to my bonus episode, wrestling is a spectrum. You have hardcore fans on both sides of the spectrum, hardcore sickos and hardcore casuals. Excuse me. So when I say I'm talking to the casuals here, I'm talking to the hardcore casuals. We have to have a talk as well. The hardcore casual fan that over-criticizes wrestling fans for getting emotional watching a television show. You're no better than the sicko that I just explained. I see guys on Twitter, especially going after, I don't know how to say her name. I think it's Minerva. I could be wrong. She's the big one. But there's others as well who do reactions of shows. And by principle, I don't do reaction content because a lot of it isn't real or a lot of it is over the edge. And that's fine. But I don't know a lot of these people personally, right? But I feel a lot of them, like, I don't even think WWE is paying them. I think a lot of people think they're being paid by WWE. I don't know the contracts. But I think a lot of what it is, hey, can we use your reactions on TV? That'll grow your branding. And I'm sure some of them are getting paid. Some of them may get tickets or whatever. But I highly doubt they're on the payroll. Right? Right? And so, this girl, I've seen a lot of different people where these accounts that are mainly troll accounts, I've just labeled it down to they have to be trolls. That say, well, getting emotional over the return of a character is crazy or something like that. And they're making fun of these people for having reactions to something that they enjoy. Right? I got to say something. I pop when I watch wrestling sometimes. I get emotional when I watch wrestling sometimes. When Daniel Bryan held up the titles at WrestleMania 14, I cried. I'm not ashamed to say that. When Edge returned at the Royal Rumble, I cried. I'm not ashamed to say that. When AJ Styles showed up in WWE, I know wrestling fans who marked the hell out and reacted the way some of these reactors did. Now, I want you to understand if had AJ Lee's return not been spoiled by the dirt sheets, they would have been 10 times more loud and excited. I allow people to enjoy themselves and to express their enjoyment for the show. Right? I'm not asking you to enjoy the show for them. But what I'm saying is if when you, like, I think a lot of these people, when they see people enjoying something, they automatically go to attack it. And I'm not a big fan of that at all. So I think both the hardcore casual and the hardcore, you know, sicko type fan, they're both ruining the experience for the 80% of us that just want a good story and want to watch some entertaining television. To take away our worries of the world for 2 hours, right? And then, there's two more things. The second to last thing I want to talk about, we have to talk about Sami Zayn. I promised Kara I would bury him. I don't know if this is going to fulfill that, but it's not going to promote him. I still think he's going to win Royal Rumble. There's a question. I can't get too deep into this because there's a question from B-Master around this topic that I want to answer down there. But I want to say this. I saw a lot of people on Friday ask why Sami Zayn was getting booed. And I need the IWC hardcore type fan that's online to recognize then outside of that bubble, a lot of fans don't like Sami Zayn. And it's not even because of his politics. It's because he's corny. I saw the post. I got to find it again. Right here. I don't remember who this is from. Because when I clipped it, I didn't put his name in here. But it says, WWE booked him to bury Karrion Kross. His promos are unforgivably corny since Royal Rumble. He's no longer the underdog from the underground. He's a top guy being booked like a top guy when he doesn't look or sound like the top guys. This isn't about politics. It's about creative. Fans would boo Cody and Roman too if they had booking that didn't fit their personas. Sami Zayn's not getting booked because he's Islam and he stands with Palestine. That's not why he's getting booed. He's getting booed because he's a mid-card at best, being booked like he's top dog, and he doesn't fit that. They're booking him still like he's some underground underdog, and that's not what he is. He's getting the best booking that anyone can get, right? And there's a question about that I want to get into. So the last thing I want to talk about here before we go into our football-related topics is a conversation that I started in the Discord with B-Master, and I want to continue here. And that is, WWE, I need you to stop the sort of Grand Theft Auto type gimmick. I'm going to say for what it is. I need you to stop having Jada Parker at Ghetto. Not because I don't like Ghetto, but because it doesn't fit who she is. Like, Lash Legend can be bougie Ghetto, and it works with her. Right? But you can't have two people be Ghetto at the same time. That's over. It's the same gimmick being repeated takes away from both gimmicks. Right? But second, Jada Parker grew up in a very affluent neighborhood, from my understanding. She played soccer. I don't know her personally, but I'm willing to bet she's not necessarily ghetto, right? And the thing that people like about Jada Parker is that she's an attractive young woman. Like, I titled this note, "Let Jada Be Sexy." There's nothing wrong with sexiness on TV. I think it crosses the line when you sell it. You know, we could talk about, but you're anti-OnlyFans. Yeah, because I think it crosses a line when you sell yourself as a legal prostitute, essentially, right? But I think with Jada Parker, imagine how much Jada could break the internet if they booked Jada Parker like they booked Mandy Rose, where Mandy Rose would have those random scenes where she was outside the arena as a heel carrying the championship, not there like heels do, right? And she would, like, "I'm sexier than you. Here's me in a bikini in a pool," right? Imagine Jada Parker as, like, a sexy, young, beautiful woman who just flaunts her sexiness over everybody, right? Let Jada be sexy. Because that's what people like that. That's what people like Jada Parker for. Let's just be honest, right? So with that, we're now going to go fourth and deep. All right, so the first thing we got to address, we're going to start opening night, Eagles-Cowboys. What a fun way to start the league, man. What a fun way to start the new year. Fighting out of the get-go. Jalen Carter's an idiot. He's not going to be suspended because they are treating him missing the game on Thursday as his one-game suspension. And we're not going to talk much about the games in and of themselves, but it was a fun way to start the season. I also want to say, let's not overreact right now with the performances of the Eagles and the Chiefs. Let's give it 5 or 10 more weeks before we start, which is the first thing that I want to say is it's just week one. No need to overreact, right? So I'm going to take you to a little place that I know called Patriots Corner. We'll visit this place every week since I'm a Patriots fan. And so I'm going to give you my take on the Patriots so far for week one. First off, defense looks great. And it's going to be even better when Christian Gonzalez can play if comes back from injury. But the Jabril Peppers release, he's now going to the Steelers, it appears, for what appears to be zero reason whatsoever, is what cost us the game. In my opinion, we lack safety help. We need help in that issue, or in that area, right? Our corners are okay. Our linebackers are good. Our front four could probably get a little bit more pressure, but like Harold Landry played great, right? So I think we're good there. We just need safety help. Jalen Hawkins, you know, had a couple good plays, but then he would have a couple really bad plays. The second thing that I got to say is Drake May cannot play the rest of the season like he did on Sunday. There were too many overthrows and too many rushed decisions. He needs to calm down. He needs to see the field. There were several times where Hunter Henry was wide open, and he didn't get him the ball. There were several times he overthrew receivers. And then the last thing I want to talk about with the Patriots is my number one concern coming into the season was the wide receiver room. I'm not concerned about that. I think Pop Douglas, Kayshawn Booty. Kayshawn Booty's my favorite. And Carol's going to clip that to where it says something like, Booty's my favorite. And she's going to play that against me. I just know it. That's crazy. But Kayshawn Booty, Diggs, Pop Douglas, I like them. Here's where I think we need some, I think we have some leverage, is Mac Hollins can be a number two on practically any team in the league. If we could use Mac Hollins as trade bait to get a safety, you know, I'm thinking of like the Cardinals, who don't have a number two outside of Marvin Harrison. They got Trey McBride at tight end, but they don't have a true number two. I think Mac Hollins can fit that void. You know, you want Mac Hollins in like a second round pick, and you give us Buda Baker to fill in our safety need. I don't know. I'm just thinking. But let's go back to some more week one recap with some major things that I took away from this week. The first is the Dolphins might actually be worse than I thought they would be. They got absolutely smacked by the Colts. We had a lot of fun games this week. You know, Cowboys-Eagles was fun. Chargers-Chiefs came down to the wire. That was a fun game. Jets-Steelers, Bucks-Falcons, Bengals-Browns, Niners-Hawks. Rams-Texans, Bills-Ravens. All really, really, really fun games that came down to the wire. Cam Ward, my next thing is Cam Ward, quarterback, Tennessee. Tennessee might have beaten the Broncos if Cam Ward stopped throwing fastballs. I didn't watch the whole game, but I do have Sunday tickets, so I was able to like flip around the channels and stuff. Cam Ward, I saw at least three or four passes where you were throwing fastballs down the middle of the plate. You got to take some off. You got to learn to put some touch on this ball, man. My next takeaway is I don't know if I have a favorite, right? I think I overhyped the Lions just a little bit. Again, it's week one, so I'm not too concerned. I will say this. The Packers are my favorite in the NFC right now. But the AFC is an open race. So I want to pose this question. I mentioned when I was doing Slapping Meat Gridiron, when it was his own show, and that episode's still posted on the YouTube. It's not posted on audio because I did delete and archive that podcast, so that episode, those episodes were taken down, but they are still on the YouTube. What would have been listed as episode 2, where I talked about the Patriots dynasty and how there wouldn't be another dynasty like the Patriots, and a lot of it is because I said the league wanted parity, and parity is just where all 32 teams are practically equal. My question is, has the league finally reached peak parity among the teams? Because there's not a real favorite right now. And like I said, outside of the Packers. And I there's not a single team in the AFC right now that I think are runaway favorites right now. Right? And I'm not even certain the Packers are the favorite. They're my favorite right now. But I don't know. I think we might be close to peak parity. Right? And so we'll end fourth and deep with what I'm going to call the deep five. Again, consistent branding that you're used to. And the deep five is going to be my top five teams of that week. This isn't power rankings of like the five best teams in football right now. No, it's my five favorite or my top teams that I think performed the best in this week, right? So for week one. So number five, I'm going with the Chargers. The Chargers are a legit team. I agree with, I think it was Jim Nantz who said it on the CBS pregame show, where he believes the Chargers could be Super Bowl champions in the next 2 to 3 seasons. I'll stand there with him and agree on that one. Number four to me is the Bills. And by Bills, I mean Josh Allen, because he's the team. He single-handedly beat the Bills. He single-handedly beat me in fantasy football week one with 80 points, and I lost by 7. Part of that also was Nico Collins. You earned yourself a seat on the bench for getting me 4 points this week. I should have played Zay Flowers, and I would have won. But Nico is going to earn himself a seat on the bench this week. So number four is the Bills. Number three in the deep five is going to be the Colts. I don't think they'll sustain this for the whole season. But you put up like 40 points. You smacked the living hell out of the Dolphins. And so we got to give props to the Colts. They played a really, really, really... Daniel Jones, I believe, is the first quarterback, probably, I think, if I heard the stat right, of all time to score on every single drive in a single half of football. He went 7 of 7, I believe, in the first half of the game. 7 scores. 7 of 7. Right? I could have heard that wrong, so fact check me on that one. Number two for me are the Ravens. I know they lost, but if I had to pick a team in the AFC right now to win, to be my favorite, I'm going with the Ravens because they just have everything you kind of want. They just need to learn to finish out fourth quarters in big games. And my number one team, I think the most complete team on defense with a really good offense, I think people really underestimated them, including myself, and that is the Green Bay Packers. So that's my deep five. Again, 1 Packers, 2 Ravens, 3 Colts, 4 Bills, 5 Chargers. And so we'll end this part of the show with my predictions for week number 2. So let's go down. Let's start with Thursday night. We got the Packers at home against the Commanders. I am picking the Packers to win the game. Our Sunday afternoon slate of games, Jaguars versus the Bengals, I got the Bengals. Giants versus the Cowboys, I got the Cowboys. Bears versus the Lions, I got the Lions. Rams versus Titans, I got the Rams. Patriots versus Dolphins, I got the Patriots. Niners versus the Saints is going to be interesting to see how they play. New kicker. I don't know if Eddie Pinheiro is much better than Jake Moody, just in my opinion. You went from shanking them far right to shanking them far left. But it is what it is. And without Kittle for a couple weeks, this is going to be an interesting team. Again, health is always going to be a factor for the 49ers. But I am picking the Niners to beat the Saints. Buffalo versus Jets. I'm going Buffalo. Seahawks and the Steelers. I'm picking the Seahawks. I am. Kind of my sleeper pick going against what, you know, popularity. We got the Browns going to Baltimore to play the Ravens. I got the Ravens. Broncos, Colts, I got the Broncos. Panthers, Cardinals, I got the Cardinals. Eagles at the Chiefs, I'm going Eagles. Falcons at the Vikings, I'm going Falcons. Buccaneers at Texans is Monday night, and I'm going Buccaneers. We have 2 Monday night games because the Chargers play the Raiders, and I'm going Chargers. Just for those who don't know, Sunday Night Football, Falcons, Vikings. And the game of the week on Fox, I believe, is going to be the Eagles and the Chiefs at 425. So I'll be watching Patriots, Dolphins, Eagles, Chiefs, Falcons, Vikings, that for the most part, right? But there's my week two predictions. Let's see how well I do. My last week predictions, I didn't really do any, but I went 9-7 last week. Not a good start. Let's see if we can do better. All right, so we're going over to questions from the Discord. But before I ask, or excuse me, before I answer these questions, let me ask you a question. Are you looking for an easy and simple way to get your protein? Well, I may have the solution for you. Introducing Clear Whey Protein Powder, a refreshing high-protein drink that transforms your post-workout routine. Crafted with pure whey protein isolate, this innovative formula offers a light and flavorful alternative to traditional protein shakes. With zero lactose and zero sugar, it caters to those seeking a clean, transparent approach to fitness, nutrition, without compromising on taste or quality. The Clear Whey Protein stands out with its crystal clear appearance and refreshing flavors, making it the perfect companion for your active lifestyle. Whether you're hitting the gym or you need a protein boost during the day, this drink seamlessly integrates into your routine. Elevate your daily protein intake with confidence and clarity. Choose Clear Whey Protein Powder and experience the difference today. And for a limited time, go to clearprotein.com/discount/slappingmeat and receive 20% off of your order. Again, that's clearprotein.com/discount/slappingmeat and receive a 20% off of your order. That link will be in the show notes. So if you are looking for a good, natural choice for protein, the choice is Clear. And remember, that's Clear with a K. Again, clearprotein.com/discount/slappingmeat. All right, so let's jump into these questions, right? Let's start with a football one. Now, these questions are all randomized, by the way, and I don't remember who wrote what. I'm just going to be honest. I'm assuming B-Master wrote this because it's about the Cowboys. What are the chances of Dallas having a good season? How far do you think they go? I'll say this. If they played like they played against the Eagles, 9-8, 10-7 are what you're probably looking at, best case scenario. I don't know. That they're an interesting team. I think they could be playing for a wild card spot. They're definitely an interesting team with what they have. But I don't think they're as bad as a lot of people thought they would be without Michael Parsons. I think they still got a good team. Dak is still, to me, a top-tier quarterback. And by top-tier, I mean top, like, 12 quarterback. And if CD can learn to catch, you might have won the game against Philly. But I don't see them any differently than I saw them coming into the season based on 1 week. So I still think around 9-8, 10-7 is their best case scenario. Next question, I know this is from B-Master. Do you think that the women like Paige, AJ Lee, Eve Torres, and Caitlin can hold with the current women's roster? Or do you think they were good because everyone around them sucked and were more worried about looking good in a bikini? I don't necessarily think those individuals that you missed were more so worried about looks. And I don't necessarily think it was because the roster was, you know, I wouldn't use the word shocked. There was definitely some talent there. It just wasn't as deep. And it wasn't as athletically gifted as our modern women's roster is in WWE. I mean, you got someone like Sol Ruka. I think Sol Ruka is the absolute future of this business. When it comes to women's wrestling, she has everything you want. Athleticism, a good moveset, decent charisma, decent promo ability. She could sell matches. She's beautiful. and like she has everything you want, right? And so I don't necessarily think it was that the women sucked. I don't think any of the four you listed here, Paige, AJ Lee, Eve Torres, or Caitlin, I don't think they could handle with today's wrestling. But I also think it's because women's wrestling is far more progressed in that it is, you know, the athleticism is off the charts, where I don't think they have that ability to do that, right? He also asks, is Michael Cole really the GOAT of commentary, or are people just saying that because he's the only one left from the Attitude Era? I don't think he's as good now as he was, you know, previously, the last like 4 or 5 years. I think we could go either way. I think there is an aspect of he's an Attitude Era nostalgia act. I don't think he's the best they have right now. I think that's Vic Joseph, personally. And so I don't. With that being said, this man has missed like 4 shows in 28 years. He's the definition of work ethic. And I'm not going to take away anything from Michael Cole's career. I don't think he's overrated. I don't know if he's the GOAT. I think a lot of people say that because either recency bias or they don't remember things. I think it's really hard to say really who's the GOAT. I know some will mention JR. I don't, you know, I haven't thought enough about who my GOAT of commentary is. I would probably put Michael Cole there, though. I'm just going to be honest. But I don't think he's as good now as he has been in the past. And I think a lot of that is because WWE hasn't really forced him to be. You know, I like free Michael Cole, who's a little bit looser. But I also really liked Michael Cole because he was sort of the, where you had your Pat McAfee who joked around. Michael Cole could be the guy who was serious and down the business, right? That's kind of what I like about Vic Joseph, is he could play and have fun, but he's also very good at keeping business about business, right? So, and he allows Booker T to be the funny, goofy guy, right? And he doesn't necessarily join along with it. That's why I like Vic Joseph. So I mentioned that B-Master had asked a question that relates to Sammy, and that more so is this question right here. He asked, remember when I asked about Rikishi's sons feeling the effect of Raja Jackson's actions? Do you think Solo losing the U.S. title was because of that? The answer that I will give you is no. I fully 100% believe that that was going to happen no matter what Raja Jackson did, because it is a test to see if Sami Zayn is capable of being champion in today's WWE, so that when he, you know, before they finalize the Rumble plans in October, are we sure we want to go this route? And so they're testing it out. I think they will say yes. I think Sami Zayn will win Rumble at Insadi, and I think Sami Zayn will be World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania. So I 100% believe this is just a test to see how the reaction is to Sami Zayn being champion. Since Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, and Becky call themselves the four horsewomen of the WWE, who do you see as the next generation? I've mentioned two of them so far today. And it's Jada Parker and Sol Ruka. My other two, Lyra Valkyria, if booked correctly, has an opportunity to be the next big, like, foreign, you know, she could be the Becky Lynch, right? So I looked at this as, like, Sol Ruka is the, Sol Ruka is the Charlotte of this group. Lyra's the Becky of this group. Jada is the, Jada, in my opinion, is the Bayley of this group. Where Bayley's sort of like the workhorse. Where I think Jada Parker could play a heel. She can play a baby. I think Jada Parker would play a really good baby face. Again, if they just, she doesn't have to be like the evil, sexy, like Mandy Rose character. She can just be like, you know, She could be a baby face and still be sexy, right? And I think Jada Parker has that range, has that ability. And so I'm going to put her as the Bailey. And then my Sasha Banks of the group is Blake Monroe. The, you know, Sasha always played a better heel. Blake Monroe was better as a heel. It's practically the same type of gimmick, you know, kind of in a way, right? Just different versions of the same gimmick. So Sol Ruka, Blake Monroe, Jada Parker, Lyra, Valkyria. Another question asked, do you think NXT is lacking in the men's division right now? The answer, short answer, and I don't really have to explain this a lot because I think everyone agrees, yes. You have Ricky Starks, Obafemi, Ethan Page, and that's about it right now. They are lacking in star power very badly in the men's division. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I haven't watched a full episode of NXT probably about 3 or 4 weeks. I just have been too busy to go back and pay attention to it. It's recorded. I have about a month's worth of NXT to catch up on that's been recorded. So there's that. Kara, I know, wrote this question. This is the fun question that I want more of in the Discord. If aliens landed tomorrow and asked you to represent humanity, what's the first thing you show them? And this was a hard question. I'm going deep on this, and I'm also going to break the rules because I'm going to show them multiple things. I'm going to show them the human experience. What does it mean to be human? Right? This is where you get existential. This is where you think a little bit deeper, right? What does it mean to be human? So I'll take them on a field trip. The human experience is love and hate and joy and sadness and creativity and destruction. So I take them to a concert, but then I turn around and I take them to the hood and watch a street fight. I take them to a wedding and fill them with joy, just to turn around and send them to a funeral and watch them mourn. I'd watch them watch a child painting and then turn around and have them watch a city burning. Because the human experience is about love, hate, joy, sadness, creation, destruction. To understand what it means to be human, they would have to see all of it. So that is how I would answer that question. And then the final question of the night, the final thing we'll talk about with this episode, Kara asked, what are the legacy of the Dudley Boys in your eyes? So I got to express the context here. This is a question in response to something James said in the Discord based off a tweet Bully Ray put. Bully Ray put, and I'm reading from his Twitter, unfortunate, but AEW as a product is lost. There's certainly some bright spots, but as a company, it lacks definitive direction. It is what it is, a company owned and operated by a fan with lots of money. TK is a good guy, good heart, but not a booker. And the, quote, the boys, unquote, know it. Now, immediately, Bully Ray had people jumping down his throat. The sickos trying to defend AEW, James being one of them, where he put in there that the Dudley Boys were, you know, overrated, only known for one style of match, this, that, and the third, right? I am going to answer this question this way. I think the Dudleys are legends, and they just can't be removed from history. However, I do think they are a bit overrated by some fans. I do agree with what James said in that they are gimmick wrestlers, and they are, or in the style they perfected is not my cup of tea. But with that being said, they are definitely legends. Bubba was able to become a big name in ECW, WWE, and TNA, three companies. I met Bubba Ray about a year ago at this point and did mark out a little bit when he shook my hand. I personally don't believe that they are the greatest tag team of all time, as some would say that they are. I will say this, James fits back into that sicko argument that I use where he thinks that wrestling is supposed to be a real event, so maybe that's why he doesn't view the Dudleys in a positive light. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't necessarily like the extreme style of wrestling that they did. I'm not going to take away their place in wrestling history. They aren't my favorite tag team. I don't think they're the GOATs. But to call them overrated, I do think is a little bit of a reach. And so that is the Slapping Meat Community Show. Thank you all for listening. I'm Way Too Deep. Don't forget, 20% off Clear Whey Protein at clearprotein.com. Discount Slapping Meat. Links in the show notes, as well as the link to the Discord. Again, I'm Way Too Deep. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.